Noise.
Go ahead.
He'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam. He'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam. He'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam. He'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam.
Testing 1, 2. Oh, shit, that's the jam. Coming to you live. Oh, shit, that's the jam. This is the jam. Oh, shit, that's the jam. I'm your host, Merc 80. Oh, shit, that's the jam. We are in the house of Mr. and Mrs. Layman, Kim and Chris. Say what's up, y'all.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, y'all?
What's up, everybody?
We also have a very special guest in the house, the first guest of this show, my good friend, the homie, Desmond Marzette. How are you
That's
today?
That's the best intro, the homie.
The homie.
I love that. What up, dude? I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here.
Great, man. I'm very excited for this show. It came to me. I don't even really know how. I think I was just driving one day and I said, you know, what makes a song the jam? Like every time you hear somebody say, oh, that's my jam, or oh, that's the jam, I'm like, what makes it that way? You know what I'm saying? Because like everybody has a jam or everybody's favorite song, but a jam is a real special thing. You know what I mean? So we're going to kind of get into that and really delve into that idea. But first, let's go around the room real quickly and say to you, what makes a song the jam? We got Desmond Marzette, somebody who's worked in very influential capacities, who probably knows how to, you know, hit that mark. You know, we've already talked about this before, all that stuff. My personal definition is the jam is the perfect combination of rhythm and melody. It has the perfect combination for whatever track it is, but the melody and the rhythm are perfect together. That to me is the jam. Chris?
For me, it'd have to be something that moves you musically, but hits you a little in the emotional side. Because there's a lot of stuff that'll just move you, but that won't necessarily be your jam. But it has to be something that's like, when it hits and it just come on, you're like, oh, it take you back to some feeling you had. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, that's my jam.
Yeah.
So that's how I would say it.
Okay.
The jam for me is the song that forces me out of my seat. So I'm not allowed to just listen to it. I can't just let it pass by. I have to get out of my seat and dance to it. And it's timeless. So it doesn't matter the time period in which it was made. No matter when I hear it, no matter what the circumstances are, if I'm in the mall in the store and it comes on, I'm going to probably start dancing in the store.
Okay.
Might be a little sidestep, but I'll be dancing.
Okay. All right. Des?
The jam. Oh, man. It's kind of hard because I like what Chris said about, like, it has to hit you with the emotion, you know? And I think that it's that emotion that makes Kim get up out of her seat, you know? For me, I get down to, like, what I'm hearing aesthetically. Like, I tried to do a little bit of research for this, Hante. Because okay. I didn't want to bring any bullshit.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Can we curse?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to bring any bullshit to the table. So one of the things I noticed in all the records that I liked that were considered for this, hand claps.
You can't go wrong with hand claps. You can't go wrong with that.
And I think, you know, it's something that you said about like the rhythm of it.
Right.
The hand claps get you feeling like get involved. That's your part to do, listener. You know, you don't have an instrument, but you hear these hand claps, that's for you. If you clapping, it's a jam.
Okay. Okay. I can feel that because you really can't go wrong with hand claps. You really can't.
I think people will be surprised how many hand claps there are in huge records. If they just said, you know, let me listen to my favorite records and just really listen to instruments, hand claps are everywhere.
Yes.
Listen, all you producers out there, beat makers, if you listening, you just got some real free game right now. Okay? You want to hit and make a jam, you throw some hand claps
in
there somewhere.
They don't have to be
loud. Right.
It's something about a hand clap that is the soul of a record. You might not even really recognize it's there, but once you do, you can't not hear him anymore, and then it's just you're clapping.
Okay. Well, there it is.
That's my jam.
All right.
Criteria.
Okay. We're going to first talk with our guest here. You know what I'm saying? We got to be gracious to the guests that are in the house, you know what I'm saying? Desmond, I met you, what was that? A little over almost 10 years ago.
It was
about 2002.
10 or more.
It was about 2000.
That's more than 10 years ago.
Yeah. We were both in a history of hip hop class at UCLA. Cheryl Keys, was it?
Yeah, Cheryl Keys.
Okay. I was there because I had failed a math class at Swarthmore College. I do not recommend that school because it's very hard. But I didn't do too well, and I needed some extra credits, so I started taking the class.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I started taking that, and I did like an independent study for school to get some extra credits up. And so I decided to take that over at UCLA along with a drawing class. I was taking a drawing class. And so the hip hop class, that was one of my favorites. And from your perspective, what was our first encounter? How did we first meet?
Well, okay, so that's why you were there. I was there. I was going to school at UC Berkeley at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the summer break. So I'd come home to LA to be with the fam. And I just so happened to look into what UCLA was offering for the summertime. And I saw that Cheryl was teaching this class on hip hop. And I, at the same time, happened to be teaching a very similar class on Berkeley's campus. So I was kind of doing some intel on who else is teaching this particular subject matter on this collegiate level. So I was sort of taking the class and sort of like, you know, just kind of comparing my own experience back on my campus. I also took a jazz course, a history of jazz course. So my perspective of how we met, I remember it's important for me to talk about why I was taking that class, because I was sitting in Cheryl's office for office hours because I had some issue with something she did in the class, with how she was teaching something. So I wanted to come to her and ask her, just get her perspective on why she was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I see you
also
waiting to go and meet with the professor for office hours.
That's correct.
I remember having my rap book open because at that time you carried your rap book with you everywhere.
Everywhere. All the time.
And
gotta have one.
I just happened to, it came over me to write some rhymes at that particular moment. So I whipped my book out and I started writing those rhymes.
Yep.
And then as I remember it, maybe this is not right. As I remember it, you kind of peered over, kind of saw that it was a rhyme book, maybe saw how things were written, this sort of way. And then you asked me, hey, are you writing rhymes? And I said, yes. And then I think from then on, you were one of my best friends ever.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Here, the funny thing about it is that maybe like a week or two before, I was on the bus and there was this other dude writing in a book. And I was just watching the way that he write, because I wrote rhymes then, and I still do. But I was writing rhymes, and you can kind of tell when somebody's writing rhymes. It's a weird thing, but I was looking at him, and the guy on the bus, I was like, hey, man, you writing rhymes right now? He was like, yeah. I was like, okay, I know the look now. And so then when I saw him doing it, I was like, so you're writing rhymes, huh? He was like, yeah, actually. Yeah, I am. I was like, huh. I got it.
When you're writing rhymes, it's very hard to mistake that.
No.
You know what it is.
Here's the rhyme right look. Somebody's face is completely in the page with their hand scribbling very quickly.
Very quickly.
Because it's like they got to get the thought onto the paper.
Yes.
And get their head as close to the paper as possible in order to do it. Tell us another, you know, just the rest of the brief history. After college, you know what I'm saying? How you skyrocketed from there? What's up now?
After college, I lived with the homies for a while. We all sort of shacked up and just ran wild in Los Angeles in what I would consider my favorite years of my 20s. And then soon after that, I moved to Portland, Oregon. I got an opportunity to begin my career in advertising. And my first job was at an independent shop called Wieden & Kennedy in Portland. And I was lucky enough to be able to work on the Nike account from day one. And been working on Kobe ads and LeBron ads and Serena and a little sprinkle of Old Spice here and a little sprinkle of Target there. And
now I'm going to stop you real quick because you can't just say Nike in passing. First of all, Desmond is also the namesake of Little Des. If you remember the puppets, You remember the puppets? Was that LeBron?
MVP
right?
puppets, we called that campaign.
Yeah.
LeBron. Little LeBron, dance. And LeBron and Kobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yo, man, I wear that t-shirt to sleep every night. He gave me a Little Dez t-shirt. I wear that shit every night.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How did that happen?
Well, the concept was already sold. And again, this is a few years back. Nike was anticipating that Kobe and LeBron would meet in the finals, just like everybody else was. And we all really wanted it to happen. And so we wanted to come up with a campaign that we could have live at that time and take advantage of that huge sports moment that we knew the world was waiting on. Unfortunately, it never happened. But the marketing still stands as Texas time. And I think it's considered one of the like new classics of the Nike sort of campaigns, you know. And the way Little Dez happened, we had actually sold through a few scripts. And we were talking to Trevor Edwards at Nike, who is one of the presidents of marketing. He's one of the great minds at the top of that company. And he suggested that, like, yo, this is great, guys. I love what you're doing. But we need a character that can talk about how great Kobe and LeBron are without them having to do it themselves. Because that's, you know, they should be at odds with each other the whole time. And if you're doing that, you can't really give props to each other. So we need another character to do that. Mm-hmm. Myself and the rest of the creative team at Wyden, we kind of got with our director. You know, here's what's really kind of cool about it. The director is Stacey Wall. This guy is legendary in the world of advertising, particularly for Nike. He wrote the Little Penny ads. He ended up directing a lot of the current hot Nike ads. I think he even directed some of the latest Jordan stuff. I mean, the guy is just, if you look him up, you'll see a nice catalog of work. And so he was working on puppets. And we sat him down. We said, hey, you know, Nike would like one more character, someone that can sort of build on the rest of these guys. And he said, you know, I actually thought that you're an interesting character because, you know, every time we come on set, you're always like asking about like everything. You've got you're a mile a minute with questions. You're so curious, you know, and that's sort of what we need in this character. So how about you send me a baby picture of you or like a kid elementary yes. school picture of you?
Wow.
And we'll see how quickly we can get a puppet made. And we'll just call it Little Dez. And I literally just, I mean, and again, I'm not the only person in this room. There's a lot of other decision makers in the room. And I'm just keeping quiet, hoping that everybody is like, this sounds great. And so they did. And, you know, like, man, I really just let it happen, you know. And I'm thankful, man. It's cool.
Hell yeah. You wore glasses as a kid? Did you wear glasses?
I did, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I did wear glasses. I
love it.
And I was a huge sneakerhead, you know, just like the kid, although I didn't get all the shoes I wanted, which is right. kind of ironic that the job I have now.
Well, speak on that, actually, the job that you have now or that you'll be going into in about, what, a week?
Yeah, I don't know when you guys will post this, so I may actually have started day one. But,
okay.
I am soon going to be joining Nike officially as an executive in marketing, and I'm going to be working on the Jordan brand.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, you know, if I would tell my 13-year-old self that, like, hey, man, when you're 31, you're going to be working with Michael Jordan. Like, you'll have his phone number, and he'll call you up and, want to talk about commercial ideas, I'd probably not believe you. Really? Or actually, knowing me, I'd probably be like, oh, that sounds about right.
There you got it.
That's
Desmond Marzette. You better know that name. That's why we got him in here. First guest. Let's get into the first song that we've picked, or Kim picked this first song. It doesn't have hand claps in it. But Kim, would you like to kind of introduce the track a little bit, maybe sure. without saying the title just yet, but introduce it a little bit, or why you chose this one in particular?
And it's so funny because that's not my ultimate jam.
It is a jam, though.
It is
you
a jam.
You put it on, everybody be like, oh, that's the jam.
Yeah, it's a jam. It came to mind for me. I chose this song because it, like I said before, is if I hear it, I'm going to start dancing. And I have really good, like, middle school, high school memories of house parties and that song coming on. And it, look, that song coming on amongst a litany of others with very similar beats and drums and bass, and it just being like a good 30, 40 minute, like, freak fest.
Yes.
Everybody's grinding on each other and sweating. And
I think I know where we're going here.
Yeah. And it was just one of those songs that got your heart going.
Okay. Can I ask a question before this is revealed?
Sure.
Is there a little bit of call and response in this record?
Actually, yes.
Yeah, there is.
I just want to get to a little bit of participation in the record, you know? Yes, it does.
Definitely.
It's definitely a participation record. All the way.
I think all the way.
Yeah.
So without further ado, we are going to play the first jam that we have picked. It is called Rump Shaker by Rex and Effects. Hit it.
It's like the ultimate party song.
Look at him.
It is the ultimate party song.
No, first of all, just look at the video. Look at him. I think this video was the start of all the tip drill videos.
You might be right.
Whatever happened to them?
I don't know. But I have to say, this entire album was good.
Was it? I remember the Rec Shop song. That song was getting too.
There was some joints on this album.
I still don't know exactly what he's saying.
Sharp sword.
I mean, I know what he's talking about, but I mean,
we're mightier than a mice. The backbreaker. You see
shaker up like a rough shaker.
All I want to do is zoom, zoom.
All I want to do is zoom a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
All I want to do.
What does that make?
You know what
the thing
means.
Is that you know what it means, but it makes no sense. But you know exactly what he's saying.
That's why it makes.
That has it has to qualify as a jam when you can say shit that makes no sense and everybody understands it. It has to qualify.
Ooh. That just brought up a whole other.
I think that might actually be part of the criteria.
It has to.
There's a line or two in there that's like, I don't know what it means.
I don't know what it means. Man. I understand it. That's I know what he means. I don't know what that means, so but I do.
The
know.
Parents don't know what it means. They're like, what are they talking? Right. About. No, that's the kid right. is like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, from the windows to the malls, mom.
I don't get it.
You call me in here?
Ooh, breakdown.
Do you wait? Oh, well, I'm going to wait until after this is off. Damn, just splash it with the water. Look at them, and they dancing.
Yes. Give it in.
Back with that male dancers?
Oh, and it was all good.
Yeah, it wasn't like, why they dance?
Yeah, it was like, yeah. Kim, I think you're right. Like, I really want to get up and start dancing right now.
Right.
Oh, that's the best verse.
I'll take it. This the best every verse. Birthday.
Okay.
Yeah, he had like.
Do you know this dude's name? No.
I don't.
No, but
he's effects or.
Oh, he's Rec or effects.
I don't know which one he is. Yeah.
This is the best verse.
Pass the boo boo. Sing it to Papa.
Shake it, baby. Shake it, baby. I will never forget when this video first came out. My mother was appalled at this girl dancing behind him. She was just like, oh.
She was popping it.
My God.
She was twerking.
What is this, a twerk video?
Is this the first twerk video?
Nah. It's almost there.
I don't know if it's the first one, but it was like.
I mean, that's twerking right there.
I mean, we were kids. We were like.
Yo,
this took it up a notch.
Like, it did take it up a notch.
Yeah, bikinis and booties.
The next one after this, I feel that took it to the next level because there was Big Pimpin', but before that, MC Hammer fucking pumps in a pumps.
Yo,
oh, yeah.
It was Hammer himself.
Hammer
pumps
himself
in
was like, yo, you're taking it to a next level. Yeah,
a little speedo.
He was enjoying himself.
He was.
Great choice. Great choice.
Start shaking and move it all around.
I did
a lot of orders. Yes. It's orders. A
lot of orders.
Just do this. That's all I want to do. That's
great sample.
That's the joint.
Even the and sample is the jam.
Too. Didn't this song have a good remix too? Didn't Rump Shaker have a really good remix, if I'm not mistaken?
Ooh.
I feel like I had the maxi single, and it had a bunch of remixes.
Did you say maxi single?
She did.
Yes.
God damn it.
The max cassette.
Oh, my God. Maxi single.
Rump Shaker.
Dudes don't even know what that is. There is no maxi single anywhere. It's a single and a bunch of remixes, if that.
Look, I have a collection of maxi singles.
Oh, what? Ooh. You better start taking... Yo, take pictures of those. Or frame them. Yeah. Frame those.
Got a whole box.
Kim, where were you when you first heard that song?
Oh, my goodness.
Because I feel like the jam, you also kind of remember where you... At least, not where you first heard it, but at least a point at which you said, oh, shit, like, this is my shit right
I
here.
Know I was with my best friend, Shaya. Because it was... Our thing was always, when we heard a song that was the jam, we would immediately get up and put choreography to it. So
we
we have like a whole bunch of music videos.
You had to make a choreography.
Well, choreography too.
I mean, this record kind of tells you what to do.
It does, but they formulated like a whole like, yo, when we go to the party, we are going to do these steps.
Dang.
You know what I mean? Like,
I would love to go to a party like that right now. Just to be there, and then the song breaks out, and a few, not a huge bunch, but like six girls just break out into like a choreographed jump.
I haven't seen that in a really long time.
That would be
fun. I haven't seen that in a really long time. Like people saying, yo, this is the song that we do this dance to. Right. Well, maybe like The Jerk and shit like that.
But
like,
not like 16. It was like, oh, get out the way.
Get out the way. They're about to do it.
Exactly. Oh, we got to do that. We got to do our dance. We got to do our thing.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So you guys made a dance to it. And then what else?
Practiced it.
Uh-huh.
And that's when we got the album. Maxi single first, remixes, then the actual album drop. We got the album, and then start hearing all the other songs and putting choreography to those. And then, you know, you just wait for the next school dance.
Jesus Christ.
Bust it out.
Chris, how about you? Do you remember when you first heard it?
Jeez, I don't. I'm that young, but I do remember when I first heard it was the video. I think I caught the video. Mm-hmm. And of course, being a young teenage boy, you're like,
that video was totally boring, right?
This video is terrible.
Right.
Amazing video.
Oh, it was. I was like, what? I didn't see this in the videos before. And I don't know. Was that
The Box? Oh my God.
Oh my God. Dude, what's the name? Had that same sample out? Was that before in the was that the AMG?
No, it was Back to the Hotel.
Oh no, that is an AMG sample.
Well, they use it.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know Kim and Tom before time, and I was like, this shit knocks. I'm not a dancer. I wasn't a big dancer at all. And I was like, this is the mm-hmm. joint. I'm like, yep. Don't be getting down
yep.
to this.
Yep.
Des, you remember when you first heard it?
No, but I actually remember kind of not really feeling it. Because I remember being in, I mean, growing up in L.A., it was a little bit more, I was like, this is not gangster.
What is this?
But at the same time, I always respected whoever the third dude is, whether it's Rex or Effect.
Right.
But right. the dude who starts off with the,
Shake it.
Yeah.
First of all.
Right.
He wrote that down.
He did write that.
And he delivered it with such... I was signed on to that particular verse very early on. But I thought the song was like not for me. I thought it was like for hot chicks or whatever. But I also was not going to parties and stuff at the time. So once I did, I realized the value of records like this when they get on. And then to Kim's point, the ladies just start going ham. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So yes. then it quickly rose to the top of
right.
like records I want to hear on a Friday, Saturday night.
I don't remember when I first heard it, but I remember after a while, like I kept taping it off the radio. Like I kept, you know what I'm saying? Like I would tape shit off the radio and I kept trying to get, because sometimes they wouldn't play the full song. So I wanted to get the whole thing.
Dang, that's crazy. That's so old school. It feels like taping off the radio.
Yes.
Taping it off the radio.
Taping. Period.
Ooh,
yeah, and you got to put the little piece of paper in the top so it wouldn't record over all that shit.
So good.
And don't let you have the shit all on the tape, and then the tape like breaks, the ribbon comes out or any of that.
Oh, the worst. The worst.
All right, so let's take it on to you, Desmond Marzette.
Oh,
you brought in a contribution here tonight.
I did.
All right,
I did. This is a, I guess we could call it like a funk record by an artist who I believe was 16 or 17 at the time of recording.
Mm.
Okay, the record goes on to become probably one of the more famously sampled West Coast gangsta tracks.
Mm. All right.
Okay. It's got a very strange title. For me, it's a jam because one, it has hand claps. Number two,
got it.
It does make me want to dance.
Okay.
But in a funk sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a rump shaker sort of way. It's different.
Not grinding.
I'm going to hit the dance floor, but it's going to be more of a gangsta two-step type of deal than a get behind a chick sort of deal.
Okay. Got it.
I could dance by myself on this one.
Okay. Okay.
I definitely not dancing by myself on
no, you can't do that. You can't do that.
But it's the same. So I'm going to just play the record.
I think I know what it is.
And, ooh.
Yeah. Any guesses?
You ooh, any guesses? Wait, okay.
I have one question.
Okay.
Is the artist a native of Los Angeles?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is.
Okay.
He.
Well, I figured it was a he, okay. And I figured he was not from here. We shall see.
Okay.
Chris, you got any guesses?
The title has me thinking something that's on.
It's a crazy title. And the title he says multiple times in the record. You're like, oh, okay. But it's even when he says it, you're like, it's strange. I don't even know if I've ever said the word. I've never said the word when not singing the song. It's almost like
it wouldn't make sense to say outside of the song.
It's a, you know, I'm realizing this right now. It is a hood version of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Is it one word?
Yes.
Kim is.
I love that. That's what it is. All right.
Well,
that's what it is.
Well, Dez, without further ado, why don't you just go ahead and just introduce the song?
This record is by Bernard Wright.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the record is Habu Glabu Tribbling. I probably even said that wrong. Mm-hmm. But let's listen to the record and see how you're supposed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know that. Right? Nigga, when it came on that Snoop song.
Yes.
Nigga, on that tape, I wound that shit over.
And that's why I thought this would be a good record, because the record itself is fantastic, but what it leads to in terms of how it was sampled.
Yes.
And I think it goes back to that other point we made earlier, that the lyrics are kind of ridiculous.
It's like a children's song, but it's not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
He was 17, so singing about... 17? Singing about an amusement park seems appropriate.
When you say 17, was he 17 making the lyrics or the whole thing?
He's a keyboardist, and I believe he wrote all of this.
Damn.
Man.
That's so funny. And it's,
come
it's,
on,
it's
man.
About an amusement park.
Yes. I don't know what he means, but I do know what he means.
Yes.
I agree.
Oh, there you go. He explains it to you. He says, it's an amusement park is the name of the place.
That's fine.
That's it's a place.
But I feel like the name in itself has to mean something.
It has to.
It means something. And whatever it means, I get it.
I love that producers found the jewels in this song and just totally introduced it to generation after generation. This song will continue to get sampled.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like this was in The Wiz. I know
it does
wasn't.
Sound like it, right now is a scene from The Wiz.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
Does.
Oh,
yeah. Crowd effects. Do you have to have a crowd in the song too, or?
You know, I think having a crowd be a part of the experience of the record is part of it. I don't know what they're saying.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
You get it.
I picture a scene of a gang of people with their hands in the air.
Right. Yeah, it's the jam.
It is the jam.
That's the thing. It's funny because I don't think I've ever actually heard this entire song, like the original sample.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though I knew that it was sampled, I thought it was always Parliament or Funkadelic or something. But I know that it's a jam.
That's so funny. What's the name of it again?
Habu Glabu? Yeah, Glabu Tribbin'.
Habu Glabu Tribbin'.
Habu Glabu Tribbin'. This got to be an amazing story behind what the fuck that means.
It has
gotta
to be.
You
know, it has to be.
You know, I got me thinking of that King.
Where is he skit. Now?
Which one?
That King Pill skit where they're talking about the funk and they just make it.
Oh, where they just make it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. This is right up that alley, dude.
Yes.
This is exactly that.
Yes.
That's so good. Okay, they do this for the rest of the track, I think.
Okay. So, Dez, how did you first, like, how did you find that song? Or was there, like, a first experience hearing the song
before? I remember it was in college. because that's when I started my, I need to find every single record sampled by my favorite, you know, producers and rappers and such. So, yeah, I remember going down to Rasputin's. I saw the album cover of this guy. Young dude, afro. He's got like a starter jacket, it looks like, on, and he just looks swagged out.
Yes.
I was like, I'll listen to this. And this was like the first track, or, you know, maybe
wait,
the first
track. Wait, you saw it off that album cover?
I saw it off the album cover first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And said, whoa. Mm-hmm. Then I, you know, you could, you know, those type of record stops, they got a, you know, a listening station. Okay. You grab your 20 or so records you want to, you know, you go listen to them before you buy them. So that's what I did. And if you could imagine, Doggy Style was already a huge record. It was a classic. It was one of my favorites. And particularly, G's and Hustlers was one of my favorite tracks.
Hell yeah.
So I knew it was a sample. I didn't know what it was. Now, I stumbled upon this record in a record shop, you know, on Telegraph Ave in Berkeley, and pretty much lose my shit when I hear the whole thing. Like, you know, sometimes the sample's like, oh, they got that little part and they like flipped it or freaked it or, you know, what? No, not this time. Daz or Dre or whomever did this one said, I'm just gonna take this record.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Snoop, you're gonna rap over it. It's been a favorite of mine ever since. I've played it at clubs and I've played it on mixtapes and like hundreds of times since then. It's not really obscure because people know it, and you know, nobody has ever heard like the whole thing, really.
Right.
You hear that G's and Hustlers, and you're like, man, I know Dre is a genius, but this sounds crafted already. This sounds like it's already, this is that funk that I know I heard my mama play this at some point before. Right. Let me go find it.
That's where they all got it from, too. Their parents' records. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's the crazy part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our parents,
you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard The Jam. My good friend, or your good friend, too, actually, Desmond Marzette, in the house. All right. Kim and Chris Lehman.
Thanks for coming through.
Of course, guys.
I'm the host, Merc 80. This is The Jam, and stay tuned for the next one. Holla.
Peace.